One thing I have learned that you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. But now what it is, it's spirit, soul, body. You see, when you were born, what happens is you live in a world that's physical and the five senses and the feeling realm and the emotions. So therefore, you've been dictated by what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you taste. But basically, when you get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, endued with the power of God, then God begins to transform your mind, change your thinking, to where you begin to really come in charge of your life through Jesus. And through Him and through that union with Him, you stay strong. That's where your strength comes from, is a union, a relationship. And that's where you remain strong, is that union. Many times when I've been extremely weak in my body and cannot function because of certain things, the Father always showed me how to rule over my body through Christ. So when you start maturing and you start growing, you start taking charge over your soul through Christ and the Word, and you start taking charge over your body through Christ and the Word. And no matter what the body is dictating to you, no matter what the soul is dictating to you, you begin to check it out to see if that really goes along with the Word of God. And I'm not saying that it's not real of what you're going through, but I'm going to show you scriptures here how you can come into a place in the Father and not fall again in your mind. And we do know that sometimes there are things that are still there in our minds and in our soul and in our generations that seems to try to tug on us and pull on us. But what God is trying to teach us is to become the Word. I have found the more you do become the Word of God, and you have to understand the thing about Job, he heard the Father's voice. But if you look at the end of the chapter, he didn't only hear the voice of the Lord, but he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. He saw in the Spirit. There is a difference in you hearing and a difference in you knowing and seeing it and understanding it and becoming it. Because when you do become it, nobody can take that away from you. And so that's what God is doing, is testing you so that you will become it. He's allowing the test to come to enable you to become the truth that He has given you. And the more truth that He gives you, you become responsible of that truth. And I can remember when I came in deeper to receive a word on reconciliation and the understanding of the deeper truth and the plan and the ultimate purpose of God and what God had every individual, basically, I had a battle that went on in my mind. And I had to seek the Lord for the Lord to begin to show me even more of it in the Word. He had to show me personally. There's sometimes you can hear what the minister is saying to you, but you need to go home and you need to meditate on that Word and you need to seek the Lord on that Word so that you can have an experience of that Word yourself. The reason that some things that I'm teaching or whoever's up here teaching, it's become a part of you, you've experienced it. So there's much more to experiencing it than hearing it. You've got to hear it first because faith comes by hearing the Word. But when you start experiencing it for yourself, then it becomes real. And then you know it's genuine. And then you know that the adversary is always there. The first thing to do when you hear a truth, the first thing he will be there, like I told you last week, is to steal that incorruptible seed out of your mind and to keep you from going on that course and that narrow path that Christ wants us to go on. There are many people today that are falling away. There are many people that are trying not to fall away and to go forward. But there has to be a falling away first. And so, but you don't have to fall away. And what God wants us to do is to stay on that steady course with Him. And I'm going to read a chapter here. In fact, I may go in the Amplified a little bit with you on it because it's even better in the Amplified somewhat. But find 2 Peter 1st chapter for me real quick. But I'm going to read it in the King James for you, where Peter again, and we've read it before. Some of you have heard of this before, but basically I think it's a chapter that you need to meditate on this week. Not only meditate on it, I don't even see how we can even get through on it teaching it. But I want you to come to the place, all of us, including myself, to where we don't have a falling away, because the falling away takes place in your mind. That's where it takes place. And like the brother here, he talked about the little spider, the four little things that's in the king's palace. Well, you're the king's palace. You are the palace of the Lord. Did you know you're a palace?
Amen.
I mean, think about that. You're a mansion. Did you know that? You are a mansion. Yes, you are. Somebody say, well, what are you? Well, I'm a mansion. And they think you're nuts, but you are. Because you're God's building. And you're his mansion. And you're his palace. And he lives inside of you in this palace. And so you've got these little critters that try to be in the palace, like he was sharing in Proverbs. So it's the little foxes that comes to fool the vine. It's these little sneaky thoughts and images that comes in the mind to get us off the track, to where, you know, we begin to look in the sense of what's going on, and therefore we lose sight of what God has spoken to us. Sometimes it takes time for God to fulfill his word. Sometimes he's very long. But anyway, he does fulfill his word. All right? So we're going to go on down, and you have to understand that God wants you to begin to recognize these little things, to check them out before it becomes a stronghold in your mind. Because sometimes these little things can become a stronghold in the mind. And so there it takes time for the Father to deliver you and release you in those areas, to clear your heavens and to clear your mind to where you can be clear on your decisions and that your choices that you're making daily in your life. But he goes on down, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as verse 3, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. So you don't need to be asking for anything because you've already been given all things.
Amen.
So a lot of people keep asking God to give them things. When Christ died on the cross, he gave everything to you right then and there. Every promise was given to us. Every life-giving thing was given to us. Notice it's a life-giving, giving thing. And so those things do not become into the natural and take on form. So we have to know how to bring the things into the natural realm. Because you know that the promises of God is a thing. The spiritual things in heavenly places. We have all spiritual things in heavenly places.
Amen.
So then God teaches us how to believe that and expect him to give us that promise, to know that that promise belongs to us already. And so therefore, it takes you and I believing it and speaking it and going on and just trusting God and coming to a rest in your soul. And every now and then you might have to speak it again because the enemy tries to bring you out of that rest in your soul again, because that's how he works, to get you back on to what you're looking at. It goes on down here, which are given unto us exceedingly great promises, by that these might be partakers of divine nature. So you have to understand that every promise that God has given us is what helps us come into his divine nature. So we know that the divine nature of God is righteousness and holiness. Is it not true? So therefore, we receive the righteousness of God by faith, not by circumcision, no. But the circumcision is needed, because that's part of the covenant of God, but it's not done through ritual, it's not done through the law of the letter, but it's done through the water baptism. You know, I find it very interesting that even John the Baptist said to Jesus, but I have need of to be baptized of you. He had a revelation that when he got baptized of Jesus Christ, it was going to be totally different than the baptism that he was doing. He had that understanding at that particular time. And he knew what he was saying. And so then you go on down, and it says there, precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So basically, when you come through that water baptism and Christ baptizes you, you have escaped. You were supposed to at that particular time when he cut it off and you made the decision to bury the world and you made the decision to come into the kingdom of God, then you have to understand at that time God circumcised that to where you could walk in the kingdom of God and you came out of the corruption that's in the world. The world is corrupted. Do you understand that? What is it corrupted with? It's corrupted with every thought and every imagination that you can possibly think of. You have to understand that there is kingdoms in the world. I was sharing this week with an individual because a lot of people don't even understand this. And God, you know, began to teach me about the kingdoms in the invisible realm and the kingdoms in this world and how they connect with each other and the different images that are being portrayed. And these images are going in people's minds. And I remember one time, and he talked about wherever he went, flags, something. And one time the Lord sent us down to King's Dominion. And I remember I was there and the kids were riding rides. And I'm saying this particularly for the young people. And maybe some of the older people, I don't know. But basically, at that particular time, I noticed a whole bunch of young people. There was so many people over there, and they were over there, and they were standing up, and they were just waving, and they had their hands up in the air, and some were sitting down, and God said, go over there. And I said, I don't want to go over there. And they were playing rock music. They were over there singing and all kinds of songs and everything, and the Lord said, just go over there. I want to teach you something. So I sat down, and I was watching, and there was different ones smoking marijuana. You would see them passing, you know, a little thing around. And then they were all standing up, and this guy was coming out, and they were all standing up, and they were cheering him on, and they were just waving and standing up, and they all had their hands up in the air and waving and everything. I said, God, what are you trying to show me? He said, that's a kingdom, Joyce. That's a kingdom. The music of this world is a kingdom as well. And he said, you've got to understand that if I'm not in it, then the God of this world is in it. And the God of this world has a subliminal message in every one of those things that's coming out that people listen to, and that subliminal message is going into the young people's minds. And you know, what do you think that we have the rebellion that we have today? What do you think that we have what we have in our homes today? What do you think? Because there's different people taking on different kinds of images in their mind. You know, everybody has different philosophies and different beliefs. I'm amazed. I mean, you know, this week I've been ministering to so many Catholic people, I don't know whether it was coming or going, but I was amazed at their beliefs and the things that they believe in. They literally believe in it, and they believe that this and that is going to happen to them if they don't go and do their whatever it is they do, you know? And basically, they think that they get the grace of God by doing that and don't understand that the grace of God was given to them through the cross and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm amazed at all these different people, and you have people that have different beliefs all over the world, you know? And then those that have those beliefs, they flock together, but they won't have anything to do with anyone else, because if you don't believe the way I do, I don't want anything to do with you. And so basically it goes on and on and on, and that's the way it is in the world today, that people are taking on different beliefs, different images, and different understandings. God wants us to take the image of Christ. We are to be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what it's all about. We are to be changed in His truth, and the more truth that we receive and the more understanding that we receive, God begins to remove that corruption that's in our mind. He has delivered us out of that corruption. He has delivered us out of the lust of the flesh and the lies. He set us free and delivered us and brought us in His kingdom, which is holy and righteousness and goodness. It's the goodness and the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't have to follow all those other images that other people are following. Come on, hear what I'm saying. Young people are following people. They have different idols. They have different people that, you know, they just follow them, and they follow all the, you know, I don't know. You know, they follow movie people, movie stars, or whatever clothes they're wearing, they'll follow that. Or if it one rock music, you know, I used to watch these kids, and they were going around, you know, like this, walking around, you know, because their pants thing came down to here. And I thought something was wrong with them. I couldn't figure it out. You know, I thought, what's wrong with that guy? You know, and he had a big chain hanging down on his side. Remember when they first started doing that? And I thought, what in the world's going on? I didn't know that this was going to be a fab or something that they were following or something like that, you know. And, you know, they had their pants hanging down to here, and Lord, have mercy. I said, God, they can hardly walk or even keep their pants up. But then the next thing I know, you know, you get the colored hair and all that. Well, it is. That's not really where it's at. It's what's in your heart. It's what's inside. It's not what you're wearing on the outside. It's what's inside. That's true. That's true. But I don't need to go around following someone else. The only one that we're to follow is Jesus Christ. He is the example for you and I to follow. That is so true, right? He's the example. All right. Going down, we've escaped, listen, the lust of the world. Besides this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. So how do you know what diligent means? Anybody here know what diligent means? That means to be diligent. Yep. Work at it. Besides this, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the presence of God. And what he was sharing was, and him back there too, what they were sharing was praise and worship. Why? Because they want to have that virtue. That virtue is God's presence. It's the presence of the Lord. And so when God's presence and his presence is on you and his anointing is on you, other people can see it. So therefore, he said, add this to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So God wants us to have the understanding that we're going through and what we're going through, but we don't have to do what Job was doing, complaining and murmuring about it. But he said, add knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Now, if you, all these things that he's telling you to do, basically, if you get right up here, you'd never fall. You would never fall. I think we all need to meditate on this chapter. Okay? And to self-control. So, patience. Well, you can have patience if you have self-control. If you don't have self-control, then you don't have any patience, right? So you got to have self-control first, then patience. And so there might be someone around you that you rubs edges with you and you don't really like them, and they get around you. How do you know that God brings people like that in your life? Yeah. Amen. Have you ever noticed that? He's always going to bring someone in your life that will rub the edges in your life. Right? So when he does that, then you know that he's working on you. And what he's trying to do is teach you how to control yourself and not get in your emotions and feelings, but only speak when he tells you to speak. There are times you have to sit there and shut up and be quiet until God tells you exactly what to say. And then when you say it, it's very profound. Amen. Amen. And then they know it was God. I remember there was an individual that called me up and said, this is going to happen, and I'm coming over there, and this is what we're going to do, and this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I go, okay, you will come when I tell you to come, and I'll give you a call when it's the right time. And so when they did call, I gave them the right time. But I spent a lot of time with the Lord before they came over. Amen. So when they sat down, they told me exactly how it was going to take place and what was going to happen and everything that was to be done. And I just sat there and listened. And I said, now that you've talked, I will speak. And so I shared with them everything that God had given me. And they started crying because they knew it was true. That's the key, knowing when to say and knowing when to be quiet. And sometimes you goof and you tell people certain things and then they just take it and they just run away with it and then they condemn you and they judge you and all kinds of things. And so there's times we have to learn how to zip our mouth. Amen. I told the Lord, you know, Sometimes I wish we all had a zipper that we could just go